The Oracle. The Oracle. The Oracle. Is back.
Accurate topics, investment, education, economic update, retirement planning, youth empowerment, pension update, real estate, entrepreneuring, and lots more. Monday to Friday on this radio channel, Stopwatch on Radio with Abayomi Obabalujo, empowering you for wealth.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of your Wealth Class on Radio for this week. My name is Ruth Ibikunle. As you might have known, we do not talk only stock on this platform, but also bring to you every vital information as it concerns your financial well-being. We talk retirement, entrepreneurship, real estate, women and kiddies empowerment, and many more. Our sole aim is to keep you abreast and bring you to speed on all information that will grant you that financial dominance and independence. This morning I have with me on this program, Mr. Onyekachi Ekezie. He's a young entrepreneur and the Chief Executive Officer of Captain's Food, a Lagos-based agro-processing company. He'll be talking to us on the benefits and challenges of entrepreneurship in Nigeria, and as well tell us survival strategies for startups, even in any harsh economic condition, leveraging on his 4 to 5 years of experience as an entrepreneur. But before we do that, let me quickly run through the market activities for yesterday. Nigeria's equity markets opened the week bearish as the All Share Index declined by 1.27% to close the day at 27.04 points against the previous close of 27.38 points it closed on Friday. Market capitalization likewise declined by 1.27% to close at 14.0873 trillion naira against the previous close of 14.268 trillion naira, thereby shedding 181 billion naira. Only 5 stocks emerged on the gainers list at the close of trade, with Law Union and Rocks Insurance taking the lead as it grew its share price by 9.59% to close at 80 kobo on the previous close of 73 kobo. BOC Gas, GlaxoSmith and NCR of Nigerian PLC led the price decliners list, shedding 10% of their share prices to close at 4 naira 5 kobo, 4 naira 50 kobo, and 2 naira 43 kobo respectively. I'll quickly go on a short break. Stay tuned and don't change this radio station. I'll be right back.
The Oracle, the Oracle, the Oracle is back!
Stopwatch on Radio with Abayomi Obabalujo, empowering you for wealth.
Welcome back. Entrepreneurship plays a vital role in the growth and development of any economy. Although in our climb here, entrepreneurial activity seems to be in high regard, primarily based on necessity due to the poor economic situation and level of unemployment. But what we have failed to realize is that entrepreneurship development is the bedrock of all economic evolution of any nation and not just a mere escape route for unemployment. Like I earlier said, I have with me Mr. Onyekachi this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Based on your experience, what precisely do you think are the challenges facing entrepreneurship development in Nigeria?
Well, there are a number of different challenges. From my own experience, I think that Nigerians naturally are very entrepreneurial, but the environment in which you're operating is not very encouraging for entrepreneurs to come into the business of entrepreneurship. So, for me, the challenges that exist in entrepreneurship are funding and the government policies, lack of infrastructure in Nigeria. It makes it tough, you know, especially in the sector that we are in, which is manufacturing. And you need power, you know, and a lot of entrepreneurships are left to, you know, develop their own power needs for their businesses, which is not what we're supposed to be doing. So we are supposed to focus on manufacturing of the product. But we also have to build our own infrastructure around, you know, our business. And that makes things very, very, very challenging. And, you know, and then funding is also another challenge. And a lot of people just don't have the funding to go into business. And I would say start small. But unfortunately, if you just don't have the money to go into manufacturing, it's going to be very difficult. So that's my view on it.
All right. Thank you, sir. In your opinion, what do you think the government should be doing to encourage or to develop entrepreneurship in Nigeria?
Well, the truth of the matter is that the government has a huge role to play. You know, it's difficult for people to say, oh, let's produce what we eat and, you know, eat what we produce and all that kind of stuff, because people want to do that. If we have the framework to do that, people will do it. But the problem is that the government is not giving small business owners incentives. A company like mine should be exempt from paying any taxes to the government, because we're having to develop all our infrastructure to manufacture. So the government should be giving us tax-free incentives to start to you know, to build the business to a point where we can actually absorb taxes. And then CBN also has a role to play in terms of the interest rates for financing. You know, giving a manufacturing company 23% lending rate to run a business with tight margins, it doesn't really make sense. So, especially in a company that is trying to start up, CBN needs to enforce the banks to lend to SMEs at a rate. I know it's difficult for them to do that if they need to subsidize it or whatever they need to do, subsidize the rates. But that has to be done by the government, because there's no way a manufacturer can borrow from the bank at those rates and then be able to survive.
All right, thank you, sir. Millennials in Nigeria and across Africa are more into service-oriented enterprises as compared to manufacturing and agriculture. In a bid to fast-track development of the continent, don't you think the focus should be much on manufacturing and agriculture?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you look at the way Nigeria is import-dependent, meaning that we import a lot of what we eat. But if you have more manufacturing companies, you have an import substitution. You have companies that are able to focus on products that can substitute for the imports that come in. So, for example, our product, which is called Captain Ready Stews, we're able to harness the local tomatoes in Nigeria, local peppers, local onions, everything locally to produce our packaged stew. And that also helps reduce the dependency on foreign exchange, which is people use our foreign exchange to import tomato paste and all that. But we use our tomato paste is used to make stew. So we're saying that we're using our local raw materials to produce the stew. So that's the reason why I think the manufacturing agriculture has to be a major focus for Nigeria, because we cannot keep importing products into Nigeria and then using our foreign exchange we're supposed to use for infrastructure development to import food. So that's my view on it.
All right, sir. Now to your business. In few words, can you tell us about the journey so far, the challenges, the breakthroughs, and the benefits?
Well, Capsule Foods was founded in 2015. It's a food processing company, agro-processing, as you said. And we're focused on convenience foods. And our first product, the flagship product, is called Captain Ready Stews. It's a fully cooked, ready-to-eat stew. Just add your meat, boil your rice, and within minutes, you have a happy meal. And the idea is an innovative idea. We're the first company to go into that space in Nigeria. But it's not a new technology per se, because in the westernized world, in the UK and the US, these things exist. But in Nigeria, it's a new idea. So we are the first movers to come into that space. But it's been a challenge in trying to convince people that this is a product, because we don't use preservatives. That's another thing. We don't use preservatives because we wanted to make it healthy enough to match what people will use to cook in their kitchen. And also, the challenges have been just adoption initial stage. But as we've grown, we're targeting students, people who need the product, people, you know, working class individuals, bachelors, people who just don't have time to prepare the stew from go to the market and do all those things. So we provide that gap we provide a solution for that problem. There are a lot of ups and downs, but I think that in the end, we went into the right space, and just it's only a matter of time for us to, you know, get to the next level, which I believe we're on our way there now.
All right, sir. As an entrepreneur, how would you rate the government policies under this government in terms of how friendly or hostile are they are to startups?
Well, the government has done some good things, you know, in terms of the ban on certain products that would help local manufacturers be able to succeed. Example, tomato paste is also on the ban list. You know, rice is also on the ban list to also encourage local manufacturers. So from that perspective, the government has done well in trying to encourage local production. Where the government is struggling, you know, in terms of trying to support companies, I think is, you know, around just high cost, you know, VAT, increase of VAT. You know, then you have lack of incentives, you know, taxes, you know, those are things that I don't think should be put on a small company trying to start up. The government should exempt manufacturing companies from taxes at this stage of the business. You know, should focus on, we should pay taxes, but if they don't understand what is really going on in terms of for years until you stabilize, you know, and then you can start paying taxes. But at this stage, it's not encouraging, you know, so that's my view.
Right, sir. So how's your company been affected by the ongoing border closure, positive or negative?
So to be honest with you, has been positive. It has been positive because, you know, we don't import anything. So the only issue is that it may come up in the future is when we start doing cross-border trade with other countries, which we are not really doing a lot of now. We're focusing... Everything is done in Nigeria. We do everything in Nigeria. So the only potential negative is that we do not want increased raw material pricing from suppliers, you know, because if the supplier, if manufacturers know that there's no imports coming in, they can then increase their pricing because, you know, and they will be buying raw materials at a higher price. But in the end, I still think that, you know, being able to limit products from sticking to the borders has helped businesses, you know, like mine, to be honest with you.
All right, sir. Let's talk about the recent VAT adjustment. What impact would this have on your business and your customer base at large?
To be negative, because you cannot pass on costs to customers. There's only so much you can do. And then the other negative part of it is that, you know, the raw material price increases because, you know, if we're buying, you know, spices and oil and all these things we use for our product, we get that 7.5% addition to our raw material purchases, you know, and then we now have to pass that on to the customer. And we don't want to do that. Nigerians are already, you know, struggling as it is. So, you know, if we're buying, you know, increased raw material, that means we have to somehow increase our price. I just don't think that with the current, you know, economic situation, we should be increasing pricing. But we have to do it because if we are buying higher raw materials, we just cannot take that hit, you know, on our margins. So that's the negative impact of it.
What advice do you have for intending business owners and as well as new entrants and startups?
Well, you need to plan well. I started my business during the recession, 2015, you know, kind of. And 2016, you need to be very, very thoughtful. Plan properly, engage people who have done the business before that you want to go into, seek a board of advisors that can guide you because, you know, it's a tricky situation now because financing is difficult to come by, you know, and, you know, it's just a struggle, you know, to get, it depends on which area you're going. So if you're going to a service-based industry, it may be a bit easier for you, but if you're going to a product-based industry, you know, it's a different ballgame altogether. So I think that my advice is, you know, you can just start. You know, I started my business from the kitchen. You know, I was starting my business from the kitchen. I was, you know, producing from there, you know, and, you know, started to understand the potential market for my product. So starting a business small is the best thing. I think once you have a product that is viable, you will be able to get financing from somewhere. You may not get all the financing, but you will start getting some financing. And then from there, as you get more market penetration, more financial houses can, or financial opportunities will come by. So my advice would be just start. The more you procrastinate about money, you will never start.
Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Onyekachi. And I hope we'll soon have the opportunity to speak with you again.
Of course. Thank you very much for having me.
It's how far we can go today.
But I'll surely come your way again tomorrow. Same time, same station.
Until then, I remain yours truly, Ruth Ibikunle.
Bye for now and enjoy the rest of your week.
The Oracle is back!
Accurate topics, investment education, economic update, retirement planning, youth empowerment, pension update, real estate, entrepreneuring, and lots more. Monday to Friday on this radio channel, Stopwatch on Radio with Abayomi Obabolujo. Empowering you for wealth.